Today on an unforgettable episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. What should have been a peaceful night of unwinding and relaxing turned into a night that one woman will never forget, as unseen forces took control of her body, holding her down and making her feel an electricity like nothing of this earth. Poor, what were these ghostly forces? And most importantly, could they ever strike again? That is the question we ask ourselves and our souls. Today on a chilling and creepy as hell episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us. If you like the show, become an extra podcast person. Check that out at ghostpodcast.com or go to Patreon and patreon.com/realghoststories or just search for Real Ghost Stories Online and you will find us. There you can get all the same content there. Bonus episodes, new ones every single week, advanced episodes, all of it commercial free. The world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. All of the shows. Going all the way back to 2013, 14, somewhere around there. Anyway, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Carol with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Hey, you.
Hey.
How's it going?
It's going.
So you've got something that I think's kind of fun to share.
What's that?
Well, about you and... Cameo service.
Oh yeah, yeah. I got the email today, and by the time this airs, it'll probably be up and active. But I'll be on Cameo soon, so I can send really weird videos to you and your family and your friends and whatever you like. You know, throw some money in the pot there, and then it's like there I am. It's gonna be interesting because I'm assuming most of the things you get are normal. I always go into things with really weird expectations. Like when I started doing the show, I thought that damn near 50% of our calls were going to be prank calls and fake, and I think it's like less than 1% that actually are like that. So I don't know what to expect, but it'll be kind of cool. I've used Cameo before with like Chris Hansen and some others.
I think it'd be fun because you would be really fun at it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be like you're not the type of guy that would go, "Hey, Judy, I hear it's your birthday. Happy birthday. Hope you're having a great day."
Fuck off.
Yours would be fun.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Who knows what the hell would come out of your mouth?
So if you want me to say something to yourself or your pets or your loved ones or anyone, check that out on Cameo. You can search for me now, Tony Bruschi, Real Ghost Stories Online. I'm sure you search either way, you'll find me. So anyway, that's kind of cool. I have no idea what it costs. I don't know what it is right now because I just got it today. So who knows? But it'll be kind of cool. So do check that out. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's get our first letter of the day. And it starts out, "Let me tell you a story about something wild that happened to me when I was 16 years old. I'm 37 now. I was lying down to go to sleep in my room and imagining what hell would be like. It's pretty funny I can still remember this, but I imagined that I fell naked from the sky, landed on a bunch of naked dead bodies. A bunch of naked men running around violently doing things to one another. The ground was made up of all rotten bodies that had already died. My own thoughts were starting to freak me out, and I decided I did not want to think about that anymore. In my head, I could visualize pushing the thoughts away. It was like a section of darkness opening up on a pie graph, and I just kept making the slice of darkness larger until I pushed everything else out of my thoughts. Suddenly, my thoughts felt very clear and precise. This is when things started getting really weird. I was laying on my side with the covers up on my neck. All of a sudden, I could feel a presence in the room. I saw a hazy white orb about the size of a baseball floating in the middle of my room. It started hovering closer to me and I could feel it. Made the skin on my face tingle as it got closer. I watched the whole time as it approached me and then stopped right in front of my face. I was absolutely terrified and closed my eyes. I didn't want the orb to know what, or know that I was awake. I could feel this tingly feeling covering more and more of my body until my whole body was tingling. It was kind of like a feeling you set your foot in and it goes to sleep. I was too scared to move, but my body began to sink into the bed as if the very bed was quicksand. Very slowly, I sank deeper into the bed. I was so scared, and my heart was beating so fast I could hear my heart from outside my body. I could hear the wetness of it. I could never forget the sound. Being too scared to move, I let myself sink further into the bed until I felt like I was going to be completely submerged. Even though I was attempting to pretend to be asleep, I was too afraid to see what would happen if I let myself sink all the way. So at this moment, I tried to scoot back in my bed towards the wall. When I inched back, I also would come out of the quicksand to the surface of my bed. As soon as I stopped moving, I started sinking again. The feeling continued, over and over. The next 5 or 10 minutes, I scooted back towards the wall, inch by inch, until I was completely against the wall. Never opened my eyes to see if the orb was still there, but I could feel it was. My heart was beating out of control. I didn't know if I was dying, if I was being possessed, or if I was witnessing something weird glitch in reality. All I knew is that it wasn't normal. I wondered if maybe I had pissed off the wrong person. Since I was now against the wall and didn't know what else to do, I just let myself sink all the way into this bed of quicksand in my mind. And all of a sudden, I was 3 or 4 feet above, and I could see all around me. I could see myself. I was now looking down at my own lifeless body. My skin was pale and sweaty, and I looked dead. I can't explain it, but there was no soul in my body. I could see around the room 360 degrees, and there were now a few different orbs that were all flying in circles rapidly around the room. They were all bluish or orangish, and the speed was rattling posters on the wall. I was so freaked out, I panicked. It was overwhelming, and then suddenly I was back in my body. I immediately jumped up to turn on the lights, and I almost fell down. All the muscles in my body were twitching wild. I don't think I've ever had a full body muscle twitch like that. I turned on the lights, but I couldn't focus my eyes. I just sat there on my bed until eventually I could walk and see again. I did not sleep that night. I know this was a really wild story, but this was 100% real to me. To this day, I don't know what happened. I have had sleep paralysis a lot since then, but this experience was nothing like my experiences with sleep paralysis. Sometimes I wonder if maybe I had a heart attack or a stroke or something, or maybe it was a true paranormal experience. Maybe. I'll never know. Thoughts on that?
I don't have any idea. I was going to ask you what your thoughts on that was.
There were elements I could actually relate to.
Okay.
Not
like in what kind of like sleep paralysis sort of way?
In the way that, yes, but in a way where this person was able to move themselves back against the bed, but they kept their eyes closed in pure terror and felt like that static electric feeling going through you, almost like what it feels like when you have a leg that's asleep, but it's like over your entire body.
Yeah, I've never had anything like that.
And super intense. That's what I had. I had that.
Oh.
Now I didn't have, I didn't ever open my eyes. I didn't have a out of body experience where I was looking down at myself or anything like that. I didn't feel like my bed was sinking, but I could move. And I moved back just like this person did against the headboard while having this feeling. So I was not paralyzed, but I was so terrified. I did not open my eyes. I don't know what I would have seen, but it felt like the other way I describe it is like a cloud going through you. But with that static electric-y feeling,
how strange
and
was
it's
it?
So uncomfortable.
Did it just happen to you one time
one
like
time.
That?
Yep. One time like that. That was it.
What do you think? Like, did you think it was a paranormal thing, or did you think like my body's having, you know?
My initial thought was it was paranormal.
Like some nervous.
No,
like,
I was 18. I was really, I wasn't, I was in a good place at the time. I mean, I didn't have You know, there wasn't anything I think that I was even considering. I didn't. I had no panic attacks.
What about like your nervous system?
I was. I wasn't doing drugs or anything like that. I mean, I was completely sober.
Anybody else, I would say, probably was doing drugs in your line about that, but you're not.
No, I wasn't. I did not. I didn't touch anything at all back then. I didn't get introduced to weed until I was in my 30s. So, no, I was 18 and nothing. I mean, it was just, there was nothing. It sounds like a trip, but no, there was nothing going on. And it was just, I could relate to the way they described the feeling. It was totally.
That's so interesting to me.
Yeah. It was totally weird.
So what kind of thing would you, like, what would you say to that person? Like,
you know,
you'll never know.
Yeah, exactly. You don't. I mean, what I did, I had my cross from confirmation that was like in a box, and I hung that above my bed, and I never had it happen again. I was kind of thinking it was something to do with the building I was in and the wall behind that bedroom wall, what was back there. It was a stairwell, and it'd been rumored, it was a local ghost story, that people see this woman carrying this child up and down the stairwell, which happened to be, I was very, very close to that. So I don't know if that's connected with it. Like I said, I didn't been doing anything drug-wise or anything-wise, nor had I been like dabbling in the occult or anything either. It just kind of came about. But
so maybe that person will, at least if nothing else, have a little comfort in knowing that similar thing has happened to someone else.
I contacted, this when I first contacted paranormal people, and because I wanted to learn some stories and I wanted to share my experience. And then they suggested sleep paralysis. And then for a while, I kind of rationalized it and said, yeah, it's just sleep paralysis. But in the last probably 5 years or so, I've kind of come back to say I think it was something paranormal just because I wasn't paralyzed. And
interesting.
That's the part that gets me. Like, I wasn't paralyzed. Had I been? Sure. Cool. But I don't know. It was I was frozen with fear once I got against the back of the bed.
Oh, that I bet.
But I wasn't paralyzed. So I don't know. It was weird. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Next it says, hi, my name is Kat. I have a lifetime of stories to tell, but I'll start at the beginning, which is also most disturbing of my stories. This took place in the 70s. I have listened to and have read thousands of ghost stories and have only ever heard of one experience like mine. Really love to know what you guys think and if there's anyone else out there who's had this experience. I was born and raised in Stockton, California. When I was 5, we moved into an unassuming ranch-style brick house in a very well-established neighborhood. My parents had been told that 7 families lived in the house in 7 years. The fact they didn't learn until later was that all the married couples divorcing during their stay or just after selling the house. That should have been the first clue something was wrong. My parents never met the previous owners. They'd already moved out. Another big red flag. I should tell you a little about the house, how it was arranged. It was a typical 3-bed, 2-bath home. When you walk in the door, the kitchen and family room is to the right, and a few more steps, there's a long hallway to the left that leads to the bathroom and 3 bedrooms. This is where it all happened. My room was at the end of this hall, and my parents' room was directly across from mine. There's nothing creepy looking about the house on the inside either. It was just a regular cookie-cutter home. Almost immediately, I started getting attacked. I'd wake up in the middle of the night, screaming and in so much pain. The only way I can describe it is if Freddy Krueger was dragging his claws down the inside of my stomach. I'd cry and scream, "It's eating me, it's eating me." My parents had no idea what to do and would just hold me. They took me to all kinds of doctors. Nothing could be found. There were no marks because I was being sliced from the inside. Nearly every night there were bangs and scratching. My dad thought there must be an animal in the attic, but could never find any evidence. A few months after moving into the house, a couple with a little girl about my age showed up while my mom and I were playing in the front yard. turned out they were the previous owners. The girl and I started playing together, and that's when I found out that I was not the only one who feared the hallway in the house. She told me with tears in her eyes and all the desperation that 6 or 7 year olds can have to never go in the hall alone at night. She said there was a monster that lived in the hallway. I told her if she ever told anyone, it would find her and kill her. She was so worried about me, she had to tell me. Later, I learned that first thing her parents said to my mom was, "You know your house is haunted, right?" My mom thought they were a little wacky, but listened to the history of the house. The first owner was a single woman who was found by neighbors one morning, beating her head against the bricks on the front of the house and violently screaming. To their knowledge, she was still in a mental hospital some 7 years later. They told other stories as well of their experiences, but my mom can't recall what they told her. She thought they were just being silly and really didn't pay that much attention, something she later regretted. I, however, knew better. I was plagued with experiences almost nightly. I had an alarm clock that had numbers that flipped over. Many nights I woke to see that its display being 13:06 p.m. I would get up in the morning, run through time trying to find 13 on the clock. It didn't have military time. Just a side note, we still have that alarm clock, but it's in a box in the attic. Other times it would go off with the creepy 70s songs like, "They're coming to take you away, haha." Other nights I would wake to hear growling under my bed. And when I would look, there would be red eyes, and I could see a cold breath, but nothing else. I'd run into my parents' bed across the hall, never daring to look down the hall and jump in the middle of their king-size bed, hide under their covers till morning. This was nearly a nightly occurrence. My aunt, who was only a few years older than me, would spend the night with me sometimes, and I would be attacked with her lying right next to me. She never saw or heard anything, which was so frustrating, making me feel even crazier. My mom would say it appeared that I was sleepwalking when it first started. I had a far stare and they couldn't get me to stop screaming. I felt trapped in my body, like something was trying to claw its way out. All I could make myself do was scream. Felt I had no control over my legs, and most of the time, I didn't remember how I got into my parents' room. One of these nights, I heard the growls, and again, the clock was at 13:06. So I mustered all the courage, leaped off my bed as far as I could jump. I hit the floor running. It was only about 10 feet from my bed to my parents' room, but it felt like miles with my small legs. I hit the hallway and I froze. I have no idea what made me stop or why. I looked. Walking about 2 feet, the floor was a woman's dress similar to a nun, glowing all yellow, with a lantern in her hand. She didn't seem to see me, just stared straight ahead. There was nothing evil looking about her, but something told me if I stayed there and she reached me, I would never be seen again. Somehow I made my legs work and I jumped into my parents' bed with such force it woke them. I couldn't speak. I just hid under the blanket and shook like a leaf. I didn't tell them for years what I saw that night or any night. My grandma saw the monster that I now know was a demon the second year we lived there, and my parents had a strange experience. Those are stories for another time. We stayed there for 3 years and my parents are still together. I tried to research the history of the land and the house, but found nothing. If anyone has had the stomach pains, please tell me your story. As a side note, as soon as we left that house, I never had an attack again. Like I said, I have a lifetime of stories I'll share at another time. Thanks so much for doing your show and giving us a place to share these experiences. Love your stories. Lots to unpack there, but that's a haunting childhood. Shit. Yeah.
Like, what I think so weird is that the child is having all these issues with sleeping and stomach pains and screaming, and they think there's an animal in the attic, but they can't find any evidence of one. And then the people who used to live there come over and say, "Your house is haunted." And they're like, "Yeah, is it?"
Yeah.
Like the parents, like nothing else makes sense. Maybe you don't believe in that sort of thing, But wouldn't you kind of entertain it at that point?
I think at that point, you
nothing
have
else makes sense. I don't want to believe that.
Yeah.
But nothing else makes sense. But if things ended up happening to the parents as well, which it kind of sounds like they came around.
Yeah.
But I mean, like at that point, I think I'd just be having my kids sleep in my room all the time. It's like, we'll bring in a twin bed, or you can sleep in the middle or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't imagine my kid going through that. I mean, that's horrific. And I've never heard of it. Like, I can't even imagine the feeling like something's scratching the inside of your body.
And being the child that's in pain, but then also being the parent going, what am I, you know, if you take him to the doctor, nothing shows up. I mean, it's just like what you feel so helpless no matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I would definitely take the kid to the doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, it could be any kind of like a, you know, what, some kind of ulcer or, you
fungus,
know, I have stomach problems.
Demon.
And sometimes my stomach can get pretty painful.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, ugh. That's just all kinds of creepy.
That's where you have children's demon away.
And you just spray it.
Yeah, it's like, an oral spray. Yeah.
It's like, okay, honey, night, night, time for demon away.
Comes in
demon
grape.
Demon away keeps the demon away.
It does. Grape or watermelon. We don't do cherry because cherry medicine always sucks. So it's...
Good idea.
It's just watermelon or grape. And you give it a spray and no more demons eating your insides. It's, yeah.
God, if that's what it would take.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Available at CVS and Walgreens and Osco Drug.
I don't even think Osco.
I don't think that exists anymore, does it? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Available at your neighborhood Kmart pharmacy.
So what you're saying is you can't get this shit anywhere. Oh, that
Jewel
was
Osco.
Creepy.
Jewel Osco.
And a side note, though, I guess I kind of fall in that category, too. But I mean, this was extreme what this person went through. But then to still be like trying to research the house and mm-hmm. like what happened there. And like that whole idea of the woman pounding her head against the house. That's so horrific. But, you know, that's one thing I always like. I thought it'd make an interesting book to go back and research the house and, you know, at least journal what you found. But then I was like, man, if I research that house I grew up in, does it come back?
Yeah. At the end of that screenplay, you've discovered all the answers and you feel really satisfied. And then what happens is people are looking for you one day and you're out in front of the house and you're banging your head against the side in a thunderstorm. And then that's how the movie ends. And it's like, oh, then we go into the sequel where it's you that's then haunting the house for the next family that is unassuming.
That is a pretty good idea.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want it to be about me, though. But
no, just at the very end. It's just like, because the whole thing, it's like you're learning and learning and learning and everything seems great. And you feel like you've solved the mystery until, boom, you become the next one.
Once again, a great movie idea free of charge
there you go.
To somebody. Because you and I are never going to get around to writing it.
It's how it works.
Dang, we give away so many. At least like when somebody does write that, could you say inspired by?
Yeah. Yeah.
Tony and Carol.
Kind of feels like something they talked about one time and I lifted it. Yeah.
Or we'll consult. Whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It'll be great. You'll see. There'll be monkeys. Clowns and probably some people in like the banana costumes, you know, like you see like sometimes,
there's
like,
a scene with a parade or something.
No, banana stand, actually. Okay. The chocolate banana stand.
Okay.
That will be there. The monkeys invade the chocolate banana stand. They get into a fist fight with the banana people. Hilarity ensues. And then there's that, you know, that one shot where everybody's kind of just like looking at the camera with their arms up and they're kind of doing the, huh? You know, like they all got caught and that's how that scene ends there.
Okay, you feel free to change that part.
Yeah, this is how it's just, it's a very awkward point in the movie that does get a lot of criticism. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, let's hear yours.
Hi, Tony. This is Jessica from Pennsylvania, and this is my third attempt at trying to leave this message. So hopefully third time's a charm. So I'm the one that recently messaged you on Facebook, and I was like, hey, I work in a haunted school by myself, and it's just really unsettling to hear Robert Stack. But it's also super awesome. So anyway, I have called plenty of times before. So I have two stories that I recently remembered. They're short, from the house I used to live in Maryland. So my dad had this house built for us in 1994. I think it was 94. And we moved in. Nobody had lived there before us, you know, whatever. And I knew that there was something in that house, but I could never tell my dad that because he was always like, no, that can't be because this house is new. And I'm like, that's not how that works, but okay. So the first story I have, we were having a, I think the sliding glass door was either being put in or it was being replaced. So the actual glass door itself was leaning up against the dining room table. And I was in the living room. I was laying on the couch. I was home alone. It was me and the dog. And it was like the living room, and then behind the living room is the kitchen. It was kind of like an open concept with those two rooms. And then you go through a doorway and there's the dining room. So I was two rooms away from it. And I heard this loud crash and glass shattering. And I was like, oh shit. I'm going to get blamed for this because I was 14. And my dog reacted to it as well. So I knew that something was up. And I was just like, oh, crap. So I went into the dining room to survey the damage. And there was nothing there. Like, there was no glass shattering. The door was completely intact. It was sitting up where it was supposed to be. Nothing had shifted. Everything was fine. I checked every room in the house just to make sure. Never did find any broken glass. To this day, I have no explanation for that. My parents got home and I told them what happened. And of course, they were like, oh, you were probably dreaming. You might have fallen asleep. And I was like, okay, I could buy that if the dog didn't react to it as well. But fine, we'll move on. So the second one takes place, I think it was early 2000s. I want to say it was probably around 2002, maybe 2001, between 2000 and 2005. And I was in college at this point, and I was driving to school. And if you've ever been in Maryland, you know that the Baltimore Beltway in the morning sucks. So my class was at 9 a.m., so I would have to leave no later than, I'd say, 7:15 to 7:30 in the morning, even though my school was only a half-hour drive from my house. So I got up, I went, you know, did my class, whatever, came home. And my mom, I come in the door, and my mom's like, oh, hey, you got out later than normal this morning, didn't you? And I was like, what are you talking about? No, I got out at my normal time. And she was like, oh, well, I heard you walk down the stairs at whatever time. I don't remember what time, she told me now. And I was like, no, you didn't. You really did not. I was stuck in traffic in the Beltway at that time. You did not hear me go down the stairs. And I was like, are you sure you weren't dreaming? And she's like, no, I was awake. And I knew she was going to say no, but I asked if it was my dad. And the answer was no. My dad was not retired yet at this point. My mother was. And it definitely was not him. Well, and I was like, well, it wasn't me. So I don't know what you heard, but it was not me. So to this day, do not have an explanation for that either. Nothing ever major happened in that house. Like, I never felt unsafe or anything like that. Sometimes doors would slam shut, and that would happen occasionally. Like, if we had two windows open, a door would slam, but it happened when there were no doors, when there were no windows open. And that happened a few times. I never really saw anything in that house. like I said, I never really felt anything bad. It just occasionally something would happen and I would be like, oh, right, there's something here. So, and I mean, that's it. It's no big deal. Like, it's fine. So, Tony, I love the show. I love everything about the show. I love all your shows. You're fabulous. I love you guys so much. And I'm really debating, like, writing in a story just so that you can have Robert Stack read it, because that would make my entire life. So I hope you guys have an awesome week. And yeah, so have a great whatever week, whatever month this airs, or if it airs. And I'll talk to you guys later, okay? Thank you. Bye-bye.
I love that that other people get as excited as I do about...
She has to write a story.
Yeah, but you
and
have to...
She has to put on there, I'm the one who said you would make my entire life if Robert Stack would read this.
My only tip on that is when you're writing, you have to think how he speaks. Because that's how I've been learning it and getting it down to sound really authentic is I watched a lot of Unsolved Mysteries again and just like, okay, I'm getting kind of the cadence of the voice, where he would pause, what he would add, what it would go where. And once you have that, it flows really well. So,
but then sometimes when Robert Stack doesn't work quite right, it's pretty funny.
It is. And that just really makes it all the more like, is this computer Robert Stack?
Yeah. So as far as our stories go, I mean, there's obviously one explanation, haunted.
Yeah.
Like, that was creepy.
Very much so.
But, you know, and it's like, those are the things you definitely, it's like you heard it. Mm-hmm. You heard breaking glass.
Yeah.
You heard a crash sound. It's got to be somewhere, right? And it's like, you know, you're doing whatever you're doing. Then all of a sudden you hear that.
Especially things like that where there's shattering involved. Like, it's one thing with a thud. Thuds can be fairly mysterious and oftentimes explainable from shit you don't expect. But when it's like audible in the room with you and there's damage being done, and there's then no evidence of it, that's the weirdest ones.
Like that time I thought that a car crashed in my living room upstairs and I was in the basement and nothing. Like, that was weird. That was really weird. And the same thing, my dog freaked out and my dog wouldn't go up the stairs. Now, that said, I was so freaked out that I could have been freaking out my dog.
Yeah.
Because I'm going, you go first, Jess, go.
Yeah.
And my dog's like, I ain't going up there. You're acting all weird. But, you know, I really thought I was going to go up there and see, like, my picture window in the living room just busted open with a car somewhere nearby.
Were you sleeping?
What's that?
Were you sleeping when this happened?
I was. And you know when you're sound asleep and something wakes you up from a dead sleep and you sit up and you're like, what was that?
I've had that
but
before.
But I sat up and I heard it.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I even called the cops. That's how much I heard it. Like, was there some kind of crash or explosion or something in my neighborhood? They're like, no, we don't have any reports or anything.
I haven't had, obviously, a car crash, but I have had that where I've woken up from a dead sleep hearing something and hearing it still for a good, like, 1 to 3 seconds after being awake.
That was kind of like that, like, it crashed and then it stopped. Like, there was no more crashing.
Yeah. And I was like, did I hear that? Or was that in the dream? And a few times I've had that experience. So I get how that can be terrifying. Because you don't, until you, like, can, you know, assess your situation and know, like, there's no way anything just happened. It would be scary.
It was really scary.
No. All right, that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP, as we affectionately call them. Do that at ghostpodcast.com or Patreon, patreon.com/realghoststories, or just search Real Ghost Stories Online on the Patreon app and sign up there. $5 a month gets you access to the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, all of it's commercial-free, the whole archive, everything. Check it out. ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.